Interrogating a nitwit requires just the right technique, don't you see? It's not as easy as you might suppose. All right, Drover, we're entering into the factual phase of the interrogation. In ordinary language, that means that we're searching for the facts, only the facts.
Oh, good.
Question, where did you see this so-called bone monster?
Well, let me think here. He was up by the yard gate.
That checks out. What did he do that made you think he was stealing my bones?
Well, he stole your bones.
That checks out too. How many bones, Drover?
3.
Describe the bone monster.
Well, let's see here.
He closed one eye and twisted his mouth.
He was big and shaggy and looked like a gorilla. A big, shaggy gorilla.
I marched several steps away, gathering my thoughts. Suddenly, I whirled around. All right, Drover, I can reveal that we've run your story through our files at Data Control, and it checks out. We're now convinced that you're telling the truth.
That's weird.
What?
I said, oh, good. Oh, boy. I'm so happy.
Exactly. Now that we've cleared the first turtle, we'll zoom in for more specifics and finer details. I studied him out of the corner of my eye for a moment. Drover, there's just one part of your story that doesn't mash. You have told this court that you saw the bone monster in the act of stealing my bones. Is that correct?
I think that's what I said.
That is what you said.
Oh, good, because that's sure what I wanted to say.
Great. But there's a missing chink in the puzzle. If the bone monster actually stole my bones, how did you end up with them?
Oh gosh, that's a good question. Did you think it up yourself?
I studied the claws on my right paw. Oh yes, I handle all these interrogations myself, and coming up with probing questions is just part of my job.
Boy, you did a great job.
Well, thanks, Drover. It's kind of you to say that. A lot of dogs wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, it was a great question. I really enjoyed it.
Good, that's... I seem to have lost my train of thought. Where were we?
Well, let's see here. I think you just asked me about the weather.
Yes, of course. How's the weather been, Drover?
Oh, pretty good. Not too hot, not too cold. We could use another rain.
Am I boring you? You keep yawning.
No, sometimes I yawn, that's all. See?
Yes, I saw that. But back to the weather. It's getting dry, isn't it? I waited for his answer. When it didn't come, I swung my gaze around just in time to see his eyelids slam shut. I was about to waken him with a thunderous roar. I mean, after all, the little dunce had fallen asleep while court was in session, and sleeping under oath is one of the many things I don't allow on this ranch. But I caught myself just in time. You see, a plan had begun to form in the darkest outskirts of my mind. It suddenly occurred to me that the bones were sitting there, unwatched and unguarded. And they were, after all, my bones. I had won them fair and square in a scuffle with the cat, and gathering information about the bone monster could, wait. I wasn't sure I believed his story anyway. I mean, who ever heard of a bone monster? I cut my eyes from side to side. No one was watching. On silent paws, I crept over to the pile of bones, loaded them up in my enormous jaws, and we're talking about all three at once, and crept away from the gas tanks on padded paws that made not a sound. 10 feet away, I shifted into a rapid walk, then into a trot, and finally into an easy gliding lope. And whilst I was doing all this, my mind was racing. Where would I deposit this treasure of bones? I considered a list of secret locations and rejected all but one for the same reason. The ground was hard, and I hate to dig. Having shrunk my list of options down to one, my decision became very easy.
I would deposit my treasury of bonds in Sally Mae's garden, for her husband had tilled it up just weeks before. Perhaps in some strange manner, known only to women, she had perceived that her loyal dog would soon need a soft place to bury some precious bones. They are very perceptive, you know. The ladies, that is. Sometimes they seem able to read minds and forecast the future. It's called Women's Institution, and it can be pretty spooky. Well, if Sally Mae's institution had caused her to plow up the garden just for me, it seemed totally right that I should accept her act of kindness. I mean, she was probably aware that digging in hard ground will dull a dog's claws, and that sharp claws are very important to the overall security program of the ranch. It all fit together. Only one obstacle stood in my way. The alleged garden was enclosed inside a hogwire fence, but it happened that hogwire fences were no big deal to me. Clenching my enormous jaws around the bones, I went into a deep crouch, took a huge gulp of air, and launched myself into the air. Charge, bonsai! Okay, we had forgotten about that strand of barbed wire above the hogwire. What we had was 4 feet of hogwire with a single strand of barbed wire above it. And that small fact had altered all our careful calculations and equations and so forth. It was no big deal. It could have happened to any dog, and it merely etched another mark into a nose that had already been etched by the stupid cat. And by the way, those had been lucky punches. Anyways, I made contact with the almost invisible top wire and took a rude tumble to the ground. Knocked the breath out of me for a second, but I'm no quitter. I reprogrammed all the launch data, sank into another deep crouch, and went flying over the top like a tomato plant. It appeared that she, Sally Mae, that is, she had not only tilled the garden, but had also set out some tomato plants, so to speak. Nobody had informed me of this, and it's very hard to operate a ranch when nobody tells you anything. They expect us to know everything, and they're very quick to pass out blame when a small mistake is made, but ask for current information, and everybody's too busy to file their reports. But the important thing was that I had made it into the garden area and had wrecked only one of Sally Mae's tomato plants. One or two. Several. But it was a small price to pay for a successful mission, and I knew that Sally Mae would understand. I mean, those bones were a very precious cargo. Once in the garden area, I set up shop and went to work. I dug a hole in the soft dirt near the northeast corner, dropped the first precious bone into it, and covered it up with my, well, with my nose. Why do we dogs dig holes with our paws and cover them up with our noses? I've seen it happen over and over, and it's always the same. To be perfectly honest, I don't understand it, but I do it very well, so maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, if you can do it, who cares if you understand it? And if you understand it but can't do it, what's the point? The point was that I buried the first bone, then hurried on and buried the other two, following the exact same procedure. Digging with paws, covering with nose. On completing the third and final bone deposit, I paused to rest a moment, to gaze out upon a job well done, and suddenly the silence was shattered by a voice coming out of nowhere. Hey, I had thought I was all alone in the world, just me and my precious buried bones and the warm glow of a job well done. But hearing the voice behind me, I knew that I was not alone in the world. The voice startled me, jolted me, so to speak, out of my dreamy state of mining. I jumped, twisted my entire body to the left, and heard myself deliver a kind of gurgling sound. It wasn't my best growl, I'll admit, but very few of us are at our best in such awkward moments. The important thing is that I did manage to fire off a growl or two before... well, before landing in the midst of another tomato plant. And yes, maybe I transplanted a few sprigs of lettuce. She had, Sally Mae, that is, it appeared that she had planted a few rows of lettuce, but of course nobody had turned that report in either, and when they don't turn in their paperwork, how am I supposed to know where the silly lettuce is planted? Who can run a ranch when he has to tiptoe through the tulips and lettuce and tomatoes? We have to keep the big picture in mind, don't you see? And I turned all my sensory equipment towards the sound of the voice, half expecting to see a huge, shaggy... Okay, relax. It was Slim. He was leaning on a fence post, grinning at me.